Father, we thank you that there is a light, and we thank you that this light is so bright that it dispels, He dispels all the darkness in our lives and all the darkness in the world. And we pray that many more will come to the light. And we pray that this Christmas season, the light will be shining bright, not just the lights on the trees, but the light of the gospel, the light of Christ in each and every one of us. And that we ourselves will be filled with your light, and that we would be light bearers for the true light, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to take away our darkness and to bring us to full light in you. So we pray this morning, impress on us again this wonderful gift that you have given us, and that we may never take it for granted, and that we may understand that once the light has come, it is a permanent thing, and we are to walk in it for the rest of our days and right on through into eternity. We thank you now. We ask your blessing on your word in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here we are at Christmas time again, and all the usual themes and bells and lights and many other things. Certainly there is no life that has ever had the impact on the world that Jesus had. Born in those humble circumstances, obscure, from an obscure village in Palestine, and born in Bethlehem, probably at the one time when nobody would have noticed, because there was no room in the inn. People had gathered from everywhere for the purposes of the census. All they were interested in was getting a night's lodging themselves and a meal. So all of this happened pretty much out of sight, with the exception of the shepherds to whom the angel appeared to announce the news that this day there is born unto you in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Out there on that hillside, though, the light from the angels just lit up that whole countryside. But the real light was lying in that manger, and this is the one that the shepherds would go to see. Jesus made it very, very clear that he was the light. And the gospel records make it very, very clear that Jesus is the light, not a light, the light. He is the only true light that has ever come into the world. And I just want us to talk a little bit this morning about that in the overall context. And let's talk first about what light is or what light does. And for those of you who like to do the notes, now would be the time to get those. There's at least three things that light does, and we know this scientifically, and we also know it from Scripture. Number one, light reveals. You may walk into a room, it's dark. You don't know what's in that room at all. It could be something beautiful, or it could be something awful. But whatever is there, the light will reveal it. Secondly, the light dispels. As soon as a light is turned on, darkness is dispelled. It displaces the darkness. And number three, light prevails. One of the translations here is that the darkness has never prevailed against it. The translation we read this morning says that has not, in verse 5, but the darkness has not understood it. There's an alternate translation there, and the alternate translation is the darkness has never prevailed against it. One translation says the darkness has never put it out. Darkness cannot put light out, but light can displace and dispel darkness. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He is the true light. He is the one true light. And for those of you who like to follow scriptures, there are, I think, some scripture references there. Jesus is the one true light. Number one, his light is of unmatched brilliance. And secondly, his light is eternal. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Jesus' light is bright. It is very, very bright. And it is explained to us in some of these verses what the light of Jesus does. Let's see how bright this light is. Jesus' light is bright enough, number one, to reveal the Father's glory. We are told here in these opening verses of the Gospel of John that no man has seen God at any time and so forth, but it says, but the one who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. He has fully explained him, fully disclosed him. So complete was Jesus' revelation of the Father that he later says to one of his disciples, what? You want to see my Father? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And in the opening verses of the book of the Hebrews, it says to the Hebrews that he is the express image of God. He is his full brilliance. He is his full glory. And so there have been some notable men down through history who are greatly respected, both in religious realms and other realms. But there is no man who has been able to say, I came and I fully revealed the Father. Only Jesus Christ was able to do this. And that is why Jesus is unique. He is not Buddha. He is not Mohammed. He is not Confucius. He is the Son of God, the very Son of God made flesh, and he is the one. He is the light bright enough to reveal the Father's glory. Secondly, to fully reveal God's truth. And this is what Jesus came to do. He said, I have come to bear witness to the truth, and Jesus represented the truth. In fact, he said, I am the truth. Philip said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, huh? I'm the way and the truth and the life. I'm all of that. And that, so he's bright enough to reveal God's truth. Thirdly, and God's word is truth, and he's the living word. Thirdly, he is bright enough to fully reveal our sinful condition. Now that's where it gets tricky. People will hide from the light. And Jesus said that people would hide from the light. Jesus said, for it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But do you know what the rest of that passage says? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him, that is in Christ as Savior and Lord, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And then Jesus said this, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. The truth would be the truth of God's gospel and of redemption, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So evil men, wicked men, or those who simply don't want to change their lives or have their lives changed will not come to the light. They will actually oppose the light, and they will actually hide from the light because Jesus' light is bright enough to reveal our true sinful condition. And every one of us that has come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at some point reached that point where he shed the spotlight on our heart, revealing all the sin and all its ugliness to the point that we could not ignore it anymore, make excuses for it anymore, and where we came and we bowed before him and said, Lord, I am hopeless, I am lost, save me, change me, forgive me, give me a new heart. And it wasn't until that realization came that we took that step. So Jesus is the light. And yes, he will reveal the sinfulness of our heart. We may try to hide it, ignore it, deny it, and everything else. But when his light hits, we can't deny it anymore. But the thing is, once we receive the light, he takes all that darkness away. And he takes all that sin away. And then we really are walking in the light. So don't hide from the light. Come to the light. And let the Lord reveal what's in your life. Let him reveal to you the ugliness of your sin so that you may then come into the light and be set free from those things which today hold you bound. Number four, his light is bright enough to lay bare all the lies of the devil. And believe me, the devil could not tell the truth if his life depended on it. He will tell partial truth and then mix it with lie, but the devil will never tell the whole truth. Jesus called him the father of lies, and that is what he is. But Jesus is bright enough to lay bare all the lies of the devil. And number five, when received, Jesus' light is strong enough and bright enough to dispel the darkness of sin, bondage, and death in our lives. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, quote, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And in Colossians it says, "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And when Christ comes in, just like when you turn the light on in a dark room, no matter how dark it is, once the light comes on, the light comes on, the darkness goes away. There will be no darkness in heaven. And so that's the light. So the light came at Christmas. He came. He had not come before. He came. He had to come the way He came. He had to come as a babe because He had to take on human flesh. He had to become one of us, because in order to take our place on the cross, in order to pay our penalty on the cross, He had to be us. And so that is when He came. And once He came, He carried out the will of His Father. He carried out the assignment His Father had given Him, living that perfect life and then ultimately going to the cross. And that is why then on the third day, God the Father raised Him back to life, back to glorious life, and then caught Him up to His own right hand where He is today and from where He will one day soon return. But Jesus, the light, He then passes it on and says, "Pass this on to the world. I'm the light of the world." He's still the light of the world. The light was lit about 2,000 years ago, but the light is still shining. When we preach the gospel, what are we preaching? We're preaching the light. We're inviting people to come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the only light. How strong is this light? It's stronger than our own sinfulness and wickedness. It's stronger than our weaknesses and imperfection. Sometimes the devil will try to get us, even after we're believers, he'll try to get us to have our focus all the time on our own weaknesses and imperfections. Well, we do have some. Do we? I guess we do. I know I do. And I'm guessing we do. But if the enemy can get us focusing on that, then he can get us all depressed or feeling unworthy or out of fellowship or whatever. No, this light that has filled me is greater than any weakness I have. It's greater than any imperfection I have. And it is greater than any inherent sinfulness or wickedness in me. This light is dispelling it all. This light is stronger than our failures, mistakes, and blunders. It is stronger than our fears and misgivings. We talked yesterday how Angie, who loved the Lord and loved Him and loved His Word, but she was plagued at different times in her life by self-doubt or, you know, whatever. But there toward the end, the light just came on so strong that it just dispelled it all. And that's how the Lord wants us to be, because once we receive Christ, He gets rid of our fears, our misgivings, our worries, our frets. If we still have a lot of those, the light hasn't come in quite bright enough yet. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in with a little song that my niece used to sing back in the day, back in the 50s. It's stronger than all the lies of the enemy, because like we said, this light exposes all the lies of the enemy, all the lies of Buddhism, Hinduism, Eastern mysticism, all the lies of spiritualism, Scientology, New Age, the occult, voodoo, witchcraft, and magic arts. All of the lies of the apostate church. All the lies of the cults, all the lies of atheism, agnosticism, naturalism, and secular humanism, all the lies, all the hatred, all the prejudice, all the animosity of man, all of man's wicked schemes, stronger than the devil himself and all the demons of hell, stronger than the coming mass deception of the Antichrist and his minions. That is how bright the light of Christ is. But then that brings us down to the most important question. Jesus is all of that. But is he that in your life? Have you received him? There are three things we've got to do with the light. We've got to acknowledge it. We've got to receive it, and we've got to walk in it. There are those who have received the light to the extent that they say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that He shed His blood for me. But they're not really walking in it on a daily basis. And I hear people tell me as a pastor quite often, I'll say, yes, this relative of mine, yes, they accepted Jesus as Savior back when they were younger or whatever, but they haven't been living it. They haven't been walking in it. How sad. How sad. If you had a house fully equipped with lights in every room and you never refused to turn them on and you kept groping around every day, finding your way, how sad. How sad for someone to say, yes, I accepted Christ as a child or as a teenager, but I haven't been living in it. I haven't been walking in it. How sad! Because Jesus came not only to forgive us, but He came to fill our lives with His light every day, that we would walk in His light. And as we associate with the people of God, and as we read the Word of God, where the light is in there because Christ is in there, through the Word and through the work of the Holy Spirit, He shines that light on us, and things begin to change, and He begins to bless us, and He begins to use us, and that's what He wants to do. So Jesus is the light, but have you opened your own heart to that light? And are you opening your heart to that light every single day? Are you saying to the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, come in and fill me today with your light? I don't want any more to do with the ways of darkness or deception or any of those things. I just want to walk in your light. I want your light to be the thing. And you know, when we get to heaven, guess who the light's going to be? I don't think I wrote this out, but I do have the reference there. It says, John says, I saw the new city. I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, and I saw the new heaven, and I saw the new earth, But there was no temple there because the Lord Himself was the temple. And there was no need of sun or moon or stars or any kind of light because God Himself is the light. And He says, and the Lamb, who's the Lamb? Jesus is its lamp. So even in heaven itself, Jesus is the light. So we have a message to tell today. We have a message to tell about the light. And we have a witness to give. We have a testimony to give. And that is that the light is actually active in our lives on a daily basis. Did you know that the only light, Jesus not only said, I'm the light of the world, but then He said to the disciples, you are the light of the world. Why? Because Jesus is in us, being that light. And except for you, you may be the only light that some of the people that you work with or that you know will ever see. Unless they see Jesus in you, they'll never see Him. So my prayer would be, and I hope the prayer of each of us would be, Lord, in this Christmas season, and also as we approach the new year, Lord, I want to walk in Your light as never before. And I want to be Your light. I want Jesus to be so evident in me that even without opening my mouth, somebody might guess that I'm a believer. And that somebody might see enough of Jesus in me that they too would want to follow this Lord of mine. Because after all the celebrations are over, how many know that secular song, and so it is Christmas, and what have you done? That's the only part of that song I like. But it does ask a very pertinent question, doesn't it? And when it's all over, and the trees are coming down and all of that, and we've celebrated, but at the end of the day, is that true light? Do you know the meaning of the true light? And have you opened your own heart to that light? Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for this light. And how tragic that many could actually celebrate what now many call the holidays, and yet never, and have all kinds of lights on their houses and on their trees and everything, and yet be living in darkness and not have the true light of life who came to give light to every man. Lord, I just pray today, we might even have been raised in church, but we know about the light, but we've never actually opened our heart to the light, and we're not actually walking in the light. So, Lord, I pray today, help us to have that reality, to know that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and to so open our hearts to Him that He would become the dominant thing in our lives. It is so easy to walk in the light when we open our hearts fully to You. You say if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, Your Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we know about the light, but we want to know the light, and we want to walk in the light, and we want to be the light in the sense that Jesus is in us for the world to see. That's my prayer. That's our prayer today for ourselves and for all we know. Work in our hearts and bring us to the truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What better time to rededicate your life to the Lord than right now at this Christmas season? So during this closing hymn, if you have anything on your heart you'd like to share, receive Christ for the first time, rededicate your life to the Lord, or you just have a praise or a request, feel free to come and share that during the closing hymn.